Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. My name is Don Allen in Studio A, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing this morning, sir?
I can't complain, Don. Beautiful day today here in our beloved Minnesota. Skies are as blue as the blue waters of Minnesota, a state with over 10,000 lakes and et cetera. Still some problems out there as pertains to issues of public safety, but, you know, all we can do is report on the news and report on events that have taken place. These are dangerous times in both of our beloved cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. St. Paul, of course, being the capital of the state of Minnesota. St. Paul also, as our listening audience has been with us for quite some time, knows, has an African-American mayor, first African-American in the history of the city of St. Paul. Melvin Carter the second, trying to deal with the problems of violence. We now are at 29 homicides in the city of St. Paul. Don, your residence over there, if you will, we're at 38 or 39, depending with regards to who is on life support here in Minneapolis. And so yeah. Gunmen have been taking great liberties, if you will. In some cases, police look like they're almost outgunned. But that's all being taken care of because the announcement was made night before last by Mayor Melvin Carter II. Is that he and the chief of his department there in St. Paul have requested the support, if you will, and backup of the federal authorities. That means the ATF, the Alcohol Tax Division, if you will, Homeland Security, all the federal agencies, the big boys, which means that African-American youth or any others playing with guns and et cetera can look forward to sentences of a minimum of 20 years incarceration. Special federal forces are already here, if you will. The current new head of the FBI, the people office here in the state of Minnesota, Twin Cities, has already been meeting with selective African-American so-called leadership, if you will. He's indicated that he wants a plan, and then he's also reporting this to the U.S. attorney, former Federal District of Minnesota. She was appointed about, I don't know, 5 months, six months ago. So they're on the move, special units, elite units. So you understand this as a military person, Don, elite units of the paramilitary groups that we just identified are already on the move. The informants are being pressured to provide additional information with regards to the guns. Now, everybody, Don, you know this, too. Everybody pretends that they don't know where the guns are coming from and how the guns are getting here. If somebody, you know, maybe asks that question of me, I will indicate some of the history of how weapons are brought into Minnesota in record numbers. And, I mean, these are state-of-the-art. It's not like back in the day when, you know, little Willie, little Rajin was shooting a little 22, 25, maybe even a 35. This is top-of-the-art, buddy. This is top-of-the-art. This is the same stuff they're using in Syria and the Middle East and in other areas of conflict, you know. One of them shells hit you, boy, tear you apart. But anyways, this is what is happening here. And, of course, the program you've already posted is open for some inquiry with regards to what the plan. See, we always ask, what is the plan? And the fact of the matter is there is really not a plan coming from the community, but the authorities have a heck of a plan. And it will include a significant roundup of African-Americans and all others who are involved. The African-Americans are the prime target. Okay? So yeah, just kind of want to know that. It's out there, by the way. Quickly, you know, phone number, 347-426-3904. 347-426-3904. Twin Cities in a crisis.
In a huge crisis.
Go ahead, Don. Question.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. We have some issues going on that we're going to get to, Mr. Edwards, but just quickly here. As was posted and across our AP wire here in the studio, we know that the Minneapolis man was charged in the brutal attack on a 75-year-old bus passenger. Leroy Davis Miles was his name. And I'm telling you, Mr. Edwards, some of the feedback that we're getting on social media and the Star Tribune is like, you know, if they could say the N-word and get away with it, they would. But in this case, you know, we have to look at the failure of the schools and the parents.
Yeah,
this guy,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
These kids are very disrespectful. And how do you deal with that? How do you address that when your hands are tied, basically? So,
well, that's what people are saying, the hands tied. That's an interesting narrative, Don, that the hands are tied, because on the other hand, the penitentiaries here in the state of Minnesota are disproportionately loaded with African-Americans and others of color, but led by African-Americans. You know, if it's one of the Mexicans or et cetera, they just send them back to Mexico or Central America, Guatemala, you know, Nicaragua, places like that. But I just don't know. We've had meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. We'd love to meet. We love to pontificate and to talk as if we have a vision and that we are boots on the ground. I can tell you how many people out here are boots on the ground, buddy, with this violence. But anyways, that, you know, it's not for us. We are merely communicators. You understand? And we merely report the information and the fact. I know we have posted the information that I certainly will bring us up to speed on two very interesting meetings, because the mayor of the city of Minneapolis, who is white, whereas the mayor of St. Paul is an African American, the mayor of Minneapolis did a peculiar thing during the middle of the week. And after promising communities, both black and white, and whatever else, that he would be in attendance to hear their concerns about the violence that is, quote-unquote, raping our streets and et cetera, first at a big Lutheran church, and the Lutherans are very, very powerful in the state, and particularly in Minneapolis. Catholics are very powerful in your city over there in St. Paul. And lo and behold, the mayor did not show up for the meeting at the Lutheran Church at 47th and Colfax in North Minneapolis, though a crowd of a little over 135 good citizens, just the common people. You know, it's not like they were from Lake of the Isle or, you know, Chanhassen or such. I mean, these are just good, hardworking people, black and white, if you will, even a couple of Latinos. And it was kind of sad because I was listening to people. I positioned myself, in fact, an hour and 15 minutes before the meeting officially began at 6, and I was listening to people. They were like little children, you know, expressing the anxiety and anxiousness and all of that the beloved mayor, Democratic mayor, was going to be coming and was going to hear their concerns and dialogue. You know, I guess that's important. Maybe the mayor, who is of Jewish persuasion, maybe he figures that African-Americans don't have a good command of the English language. I don't know, Don. He and his people will have to express that. Now, by the way, for factual information, the councilman for the Ward 4, the north side of Minneapolis, is comprised basically of two primary wards, the 5th Ward and the 4th Ward. And the 5th Ward is represented by the son of the current black attorney general here in the state of Minnesota. Jeremiah Bay Ellison did not show up for any of the meeting either. Council member Cunningham did, and he knew how to play to his base. Council member But Cunningham has actually only been in the state maybe about 5-6 years. He knew how to play to his base. He listened to the concerns and criticism of the Minneapolis Police Department became more intense as each minute went by and people realized that the mayor of the city of Minneapolis was not coming. Now, the attorney general was there, and it was kind of interesting because he got into a rather sharp exchange. It was ugly, with a community activist who was talking about, you know, how the African-American proposals and things are handled. I know you know about proposals and things like that. You've helped some of these folks put together proposals. And the exchange became very ugly. I think it was unnecessary. I say that as an observer at court, if you will. It was unnecessary for the attorney general to respond to the African-American activists in the manner that he did. He made some statements which were directed at the African-American activists, which implied instability on the part of African-American activists, if you will. It got real ugly. It got real ugly in there. But in the meanwhile, the minister of the church, the Lutheran church, who was being supported by some of the most powerful Lutheran pastors in the Twin Cities, if you will, coming from as far away as Chanhassen, Eden Prairie, places like that, they were equally disappointed that the mayor of the city of Minneapolis was not there, while on the other side of the river, the African-American mayor of the city of St. Paul met with his base, if you will, had to be all in excess of 200 people, at a meeting there, what is it called, Central Baptist, if you will. We refer you to articles in both the Minneapolis Star Tribune and the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And it was also sad because the meeting at the church in North Minneapolis on Wednesday should have had that same kind of exposure and et cetera. We are made to understand here is that the office of the mayor of the city of Minneapolis basically discouraged the major newspaper in Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, not to cover that particular meeting at the Lutheran Church at 47th and Colfax Avenue North. I'm saddened by that. But it got even worse the following night because for over a month, arrangements had been made for a meeting with African-Americans again at McDonald's. I'm not quite sure if that was the best site, but, you know, it's up to the people who are, quote-unquote, asking for the meeting. And the mayor, council member Jeremiah Bay, Ellison, or Jeremiah Ellison Bay, if you will, first term councilman, was to have been there. In this case, the only African-American state senator on the northern side of the city of Minneapolis was there, Senator Bobby Joe Champion, just a outstanding individual, et cetera. And in that meeting, he apparently, according to very reliable sources who were right there, he, the African-American state senator, one of only two, was really kind of disrespected, if you will, as well as the inspector of the fourth precinct, who was an African-American, was kind of, you know, disrespected kind of his comments were cut off and et cetera. But the key was there was no mayor. The mayor, in fact, on Wednesday actually misrepresented the facts and the truth to the minister of the church where the meeting on Wednesday was taking place. Don't want people to get their dates and things confused. So Star Tribune didn't report anything on either one of the minutes of the meetings, and the word is out around City Hall that some Pacific Council members and others are doing everything they can to embarrass the current black chief of the Minneapolis Police Department and undercutting his authority and attempting to move the assistant white chief individual by the name of Jose into the position as chief, you know, start out making an interim chief and et cetera. And so that's how ugly it is here, but the feds have said that they are going to get things taken care of, and they're going to start rounding up and indicting Negroes in record numbers. Any questions, Don?
So at the meeting at McDonald's, was it a select group of people were to be there, or was that a community meeting? Because I asked go ahead.
That was a community meeting. I mean, when the folks asked another individual to facilitate and to work with them and the mayor's office and coordinate this meeting, this started way back on the 1st of October. So to your specific question, which is a good one, well crafted, is that it was a community meeting. There the specific people that were quote unquote positioning themselves in this meeting were people who maintained that the city councilman, Jeremiah Bay Ellison, had not been responsive, continues to not be responsive, if you will. In fact, one of the ugly pieces that came out of the meeting at McDonald's, and that you have asked that question, was that the meeting at McDonald's was to start at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Individuals maintained that there was continuous dialogue with the office of the councilman from the 5th Ward, including his appointment person, if you will. The day before Tuesday, you know, I'd like to do the detail and specificity. The office of Ellison, the council member, not to be confused with his father, the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota, indicated that he would be there at 6, if you will, and the individuals indicated the meeting they were having, I wanted to have with him. It was public, but at the same time, there was a selective group of individuals, I guess, that were, you know, would have first priority, if you will. On early Thursday, if you will, the McDonald's meeting, we'll keep it that way, calls came back from the appointment person for Ellison's office. Again, the son, not to be confused with the father, who's the attorney general. And Ellison made it appear that he misunderstood the time and that he could not be there until 7, if you will. They were still waiting. In the meanwhile, state senator, Senator Bobby Joe Champion, whose district is that particular area, his senatorial district, as well as the inspector, African-American inspector, been there about 3 months, was also there. And the feedback is that they were kind of disrespected, if you will. Of course, no mayor. Now, in the meanwhile, the mayor's office maintained that the mayor had other things to do. In fact, all day Thursday, the mayor was at an event at the University of Minnesota, you know, dealing with the right kind of people, the kind of people he, the mayor, feels comfortable around. In the meanwhile, back to council member Ellison, he made some kind of text message or call and indicated that he could do a telephone conference call at 7:30, but that he was still in the Bryn Mawr area. We have an area here on the southern end of the 5th Ward, if you will, which is a predominantly white community, if you will, called Bryn Mawr. And he indicated that his priority was there with the Bryn Mawr group, the white community, and but he could give the Negroes a couple minutes by a phone. They rejected that, if you will, according to their representatives and et cetera. So that meeting never took place. In the case of the mayor of our beloved city, Jacob Fry, he had no time whatsoever to make the meeting, and actually, I guess there was no rescheduling. I mean, it wasn't important enough. In the meanwhile, we had the mayor in St. Paul, the African-American, was really taking care of business, doing his thing. He has two more meetings that he is going to be involved in. In the meanwhile, there was an action and involvement by a community of activists, so-called activists, to try to bring together and heal with the city the disrespect shown to the Lutheran Church in North Minneapolis on Wednesday night, if you will. It appears that that dialogue has gone fairly well between the inspector of the fourth precinct and the chief, the African American chief of the Minneapolis Police Department. It appears that that some of the wounds and the hurt feelings were healed to some degree. But anyways, we have in St. Paul a mayor who reaches out to all aspects and all segments of his community. In Minneapolis, we have a mayor who does not feel comfortable around black people. He feels comfortable in meetings in which there's a lot of black women and winking and slapping and et cetera, you know. And I've heard many of the women refer to him as a cutie pie and that kind of thing. I'm not understanding what any of these married. But anyways, I'm open to any other questions that anybody may have, if you will, Mr. Allen. But it's something that the Minneapolis Star Tribune agreed in consultation with the mayor's office and with his key personnel that they would give no, quote-unquote, press to the attempted meetings by the African-American community working with one of the oldest Lutheran churches in the Twin Cities, you know. And so there are going to be fallout and consequences. And then, of course, after this program, people will call and say that we, you know, we're not telling the truth and et cetera. I stand by all aspects of what we have just reported.
Wow, that's so it's very interesting, Mr. Edwards, that you you break down and you tell us the story about this event where the mayor does not show up, he doesn't feel comfortable, neither does the Fifth Ward city councilman. Is there a safety or security issue at hand? And we do have a caller holding, I'll let you know, but just trying to figure out.
I have no firsthand knowledge, Mr. Allen, of any threat to the mayor of Minneapolis beyond the same kind of threats that Mayor Melvin Carter II has been receiving for the last number of weeks prior to the election in your city this past Tuesday. I know of no reason, but you know, if there was, you got enough police, you got enough security personnel, and now they have federal authorities in place, I guess they could put enough of a corridor around the white mayor, and because them black folks were just elated that they thought their mayor, quote-unquote, was going to be there Wednesday night. That mayor had no intention of being nowhere close to no black people. So to your question, I do not see any security issue that would warrant the mayor of the city of Minneapolis treating the African-American community and others in that community on the far north end of the fourth precinct / fourth ward. I cannot bring myself to even think about justifying the actions of the mayor other than he is not comfortable around African-Americans. Now, there may be a small group of African-Americans. Oh, by the way, on this particular note, the mayor appointed a special committee here about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, working with Sandra Smith-Baker, of the powerful Minneapolis Foundation under the auspices and control of former Mayor R.T. Ryback. And one of the things that has emerged about that is that on the committee that had been appointed by the mayor, appointed it himself, you know, made he and Ms. Smith Baker the chairperson, people need to know who are listening in tonight or this afternoon, is that there are 8 vacancies on that committee. This is a committee similar to the one appointed and put together under the orders of the governor of the state of Minnesota, headed up by Public Safety Commissioner Harrington and Attorney General Keith Ellison. But now the Minneapolis committee, the mayor's committee as we call it, has 8 vacancies. And they've had like 3 meetings in 4 months. I just don't know how people really can fix their mouth to indicate that they are concerned about the level of mayhem and violence and death and injury that is happening in Minneapolis. I just don't know how they can fix their mouth. Now, I'll tell you this, though. Folks are getting a lot of money. Sasha Cotton, who is the head of the Office of Violence, if you will, or whatever, is going to receive in excess of $1.5 million to keep her operation running. As she tried to move it into St. Paul, there was criticism with regards to the operational phase of GBI, and Mayor Carter indicated that he was not comfortable with GBI coming into the city of St. Paul, and so he is now being attacked. I mean, we just need to lay that out because, you know, everybody plays like they don't know what's going on. But in the back rooms, in coffee shops, in the cetera, and down in both city halls, they clearly know how to be on the attack. I repeat again that the strategy that's going on now is to find some way to undercut and undermine the current chief of the Minneapolis Police Department, African-American, Nedera Arredondo. I mean, that's just a fact. Go ahead, Don. Any questions?
We do have a call. Our producers say that this is Mr. M from the Twin Cities. Mr. M, you're live on the air. Go ahead. You're on the Ron and Don Show.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. You know, I have a observation here, sitting in my palatial estate somewhere in South Minneapolis, that our leadership is a total abject failure. Okay, and this is kind of at the core of what is going on here. I mean, in difficult times, our so-called leaders, they need to step up. And when the citizens and community are willing to show up to a meeting to help address these issues, and the leaders run and hide, I mean, this is just a sad commentary. I mean, if the community is concerned and outraged and shows that they want to help make this community better, why wouldn't you want to engage them? I mean, this is beyond my ability to comprehend. I mean, we have all these people with all these big titles and all these big salaries and all these things, but they can't come to a meeting? I mean, they can't begin to address, you know, the safety issues. They're getting paid to do this. You keep hearing all these dollars being handed out, all these things going to these different agencies and these different, you know, I mean, one meeting is not going to solve anything. We need to have a series of meetings, and if that meeting failed, then let's schedule another one. Let's get right on the horn and show how important this stuff is to us. I mean, I just...
Well, let me say on that particular point, Tim, is that the Lutheran Church, again, I will continue to give the address so people can, you know, find their way up there, but the folks that live on the far north end of the 4th Ward / 4th Precinct, they know that that church has been there for over 100 years. The minister has been conducting, this is to your question about meetings, he has been conducting a roundtable discussion every Wednesday night for the last year. And he had been begging the mayor of the city of Minneapolis and other individuals. Now, as I said, Council Member Cunningham, who represents the 4th Ward and represents the area in which the Lutheran Church is located in. And by the way, this church is very, very powerful within the Lutheran Senate, if you will. I think it's a member of the Missouri Senate. And for those that are Lutherans, they know what we are talking about. They have an excellent daycare facility, if you will, and they were looking forward to showing it to the mayor and to other powerful elected officials. And like I said, I mean, the Attorney General did show up. The mayor missed two consecutive meetings and declined to attend, if you will. Now, I know that his handmaidens must now position themselves to indicate that that R. Edwards just making stuff up. He's just a manure stirrer, if you will. They use another more vulgar term, and et cetera. But, you know, I'm not beholden to them, my good brother. You know, I don't march to their tune, if you will. I'm not a drummer in their corps. And what they are doing, they are killing, my friends. They are killing the African-American community with their indifference. But go ahead, Ian. Any other additional, any specific questions?
Yeah, I mean, another
with regards to the event. Go ahead.
Another observation I have, you know, as I said in my palatial estate, I mean, and then our police, you know, they seem to be, instead of public service, they seem to be warring among themselves. They seem to be, you know, going for double pay. I mean, there's a big thing in the paper today about the sheriffs, how, you know, they retire and then they just come right back to work and get paid again. And so they question one sheriff, and they said, well, it was just coincidence, because you have to wait 30 days after retirement before you could come back. Just a coincidence, on the 31st day he came back. He said it was just a coincidence. I mean, so these people are being funded. I mean, and there's all these titles and all these staffs and all these people, and they can't come to a meeting. They can't come together and spread out to the community to address these serious issues of safety, you know, education. It's the same type of thing. They say that we don't have enough black teachers. But then why don't you recruit some? Why don't you go to these colleges? Why don't you go and recruit the type of people that you need? You have to outreach. You have to accept them. It's very perplexing to me. And I've seen it throughout the agencies. I've seen it in the child protection agency I worked in and retired. Asked me to come back, and then some people put the kibosh on it. They didn't want me to come back. And so I finally said, forget it. I don't want to come back under that situation anyway. But there are people in the community that want to address this, and I just don't see enough outreach and enough. I see the dollars supposedly being thrown out there, but I don't see any results.
Let me just say, clarify, it's not supposedly. It is out there. And in fact, in the meeting Thursday morning, in which initially the council, led by Cam Gordon, and actually our council members of color, wanted to shift over almost $2 million to the GVI. They call themselves the Group Violence Initiative. I call them the Gang Violence Initiative. They both of them start with G's. But it is regrettable, and the shootings and the deaths and the injuries and the woundings and et cetera continue at a record rate, if you will. But when you get the mayor of the city, who himself has only actually been in the city of Minneapolis for about 10 years. He just got here from Detroit about 10 years ago. But he carries the bag, if you will, the suitcase, if you will, the briefcase, the attaché case for the Jewish community in many regards. And that has been his role. But I was shocked that he did not have the political savvy to come to those two meetings, the one at a Lutheran church that has established roots for over 100 years in that part of North Minneapolis, and the small group of African American who became so upset that the white mayor didn't show up that they insulted the black inspector, and more importantly, they insulted the one of only two African American senators in the Minnesota legislature. Bobby Joe Champion, Senator Bobby Joe Champion, did not deserve the kind of disrespect that he received, nor did Inspector Kevin Paulette deserve that. But that's another thing that is starting to come into play, and that is that the African-American male, we seem to be a quote-unquote ready target, if you will. nothing that the African-American male can do as it pertains to standing up. Now, if you want to talk in terms of doing nothing, and we got a whole host of so-called leadership that are very effective and proficient at doing that. Any specific questions, again, of my narrative that I've laid out? So we don't have to get into none of that, that negativism, that toxicity, you understand, that poison by someone, by Mr. Edwards. No, it's all factual. And as I said again, I felt good for the community, but I felt sad on Wednesday night. 135 individual citizens there to meet with their beloved mayor. And he told two or three different lies. In fact, he told two lies to the white Lutheran minister about his, his being available and if he was coming. He told the minister on one hand he'd be there. He told somebody else that he didn't know knew the minister and said, "I didn't know. I don't have time to make that." Yeah. So that's where we're at, M. Is that we have a very toxic leadership. That really doesn't care about the health and the future of the African American and others of color. And I don't know why it is that we are scared, terrified, or too cowardly to say that. You know, this white mayor in Minneapolis and does not care to be engaged with the African American community. And they all know, and I like what you said about the infighting going on in the MPD. They all know that Assistant Chief Jost is undermining Chief Arredondo. Everybody knows that name. Everybody that has boots on the ground knows that's what is happening. Okay? Yeah. And they're trying to eliminate Kevin Paulus, the inspector of the fourth precinct, and he hasn't even been in there 3 months. And they're coming after him left and right. So that's what it is. But I repeat again, any specific questions of what happened on Wednesday and Thursday, we are here. The phone lines are open. We are here. And I will answer any specific question because I was boots on the ground. I was so sad. I was so sad by the disrespect shown by the office of the mayor of the city of Minneapolis to the communities of color.
Well, I guess I'll leave with just saying again, it's just my impression, you know, that this is just an abject failure. I mean, where people are really looking for their own self-interest, and it's really sad what's going on with the police force. I mean, the infighting is really keeping them from doing the things that I know that they want to do to keep our community safe. And not that it's all on them. This isn't something that they can do by themselves. I mean, this community, this is our schools, this is our education system. You know, look at the failures at DHS. I mean, every day you see the mismanagement of millions of money, millions of dollars of money.
Yeah.
You know what?
Failures.
This is unbelievable. All those millions of dollars, and then when you dig down into the facts with DHS, you know, no black person gave the money away, nor did the black person get the money.
Yeah.
So how did this go on for so long, and the state just, and you know, I'm not trying to play the race card really here. Just don't get me wrong, my conservative friends out there, but if this would have been a Somali agency, a black, a Hispanic, Latino agency, the first $100,000 that went out the door wrong or incorrectly, it would have been on every front page of the newspaper. But this went on $47 million. It keeps going up. How does
they'd be
that
in jail.
Here?
Example,
yeah.
Mr.
Yeah,
Bill
they'd
Davis.
Be, that's right.
Example,
they'd
Mr. Bill
they'd
Davis.
Be,
they'd
be
in jail.
Okay? Yeah. Please keep in mind that what initially made this story of some importance, at least to sell newspapers and keep the attention as you watch TV, was when the issue came up of the Native American, because a couple of the tribal nations in northern Minnesota had allegedly been overpaid, and the demand was being made. Remember, they had a hearing over there that was just emotional, in which they were demanding that the Native Americans pay that money back. If you were Native American, says you gave us the money, you certified that this was the appropriate. We don't care. We want the money back.
I know.
Now, that's when the state started talking about sending Native Americans to jail. I think
if they didn't pay it
Native
back,
Americans
if
had not been on the federal reservation, they would have sent local county police and et cetera in there to seize them and et cetera. You got to remember, though, these reservations are federal territory. But go ahead, Em, you had something, or Don, you had something?
No, that was my comment.
These failures, again, you know, as Mr. Allen also, you know, addressed, I mean, these are the agencies that are supposed to be funding. These are our tax dollars that are going out. I mean, these are monies that we pay. I mean, they raise my taxes here in my palatial estate, and they want to come in to my house to see my palatial estate because I'm protesting it, but they're not going to come in here. I'm not going to allow them in here.
All right, then. All right. And that is a part of the American tradition that started the quote-unquote war of 1776 against King Georgie. And Tim clearly knows what I'm talking about. That is interesting that they are demanding access to your home to see what you got in there. Yeah, right.
See,
wow.
And I'll end with this. You know, the past is the present, okay? These things, when I started school at Adams in 1954, Brown versus Board hadn't been passed yet, okay?
Mm-hmm,
separate
mm-hmm.
and equal. I mean, they could have marched me out of that school if they wanted to. I mean, it wasn't legal for me to even be educated at that point. So I just say that, you know, these things that we think they're a long time ago, they're not. You know, the past is now. And until what my dad would say is the only way you're going to catch a man ahead of you in a race is to run faster. And that's what we got to do.
All right. Thank you, Em. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Take care. Mr. Allen, let me do this at this particular point because it's appropriate. We want to send our congratulations to the first African-American in history in that particular city, Duluth, Minnesota, who was elected this past Tuesday to the Duluth City Council, Miss Kennedy, who was born and raised in Duluth and grew up on the west side of Duluth. And for those people that say they know Duluth and been to Duluth and et cetera, but, congratulations and the very best to Miss Kennedy. She's 56, if you will, lifetime, lifelong resident, if you will, and first African-American ever to be elected to the Duluth City Council. And the reason I bring it up in yesterday's edition of the big, powerful white newspaper, the Nap Star Tribune, they wrote a story about her. And one of the things that she pointed out, and the gentleman, him, rekindled it, if you will, was that she talked in terms that in 1972, she was a student in the fourth grade at one of the elementary schools on the west side of quote-unquote Duluth, and that a white parent had actually circulated a petition to have her removed from the school because she was an African-American. She was a Negro. She was a Black, and et cetera. And so, again, I thank my colleague, Mr. Allen, and all others join in expressing our quote-unquote appreciation and congratulations to Miss Kennedy, native-born Duluth, the individual, if you will, being elected to the Duluth City Council. God bless you, my sister, and we hope you're the very best.
And also, since we're on a congratulations, I would like to congratulate Miss Chantel Allen, no relation, for winning the seat on the St. Paul Public School Board. And I think that was monumental. And she did a good, she was with us here a couple of weeks ago. And I think that's good stuff. That's all good stuff.
Yeah, well, again, phone number 347-426-3904, 347-426-3904. The Don and Ron program from Minneapolis and St. Paul. Lines are open. Anybody has any question? I just can't imagine that the liberals will let us, and particularly myself, make those kinds of comments about the mayor of the city of Minneapolis and not challenge us on the authenticity and the validity of what we said. But keep in mind, buddy, I was there, boots on the ground. and the situation that took place at McDonald's, my sources are impeccable with regards to what happened and the disrespect shown to Senator Bobby Joe Champion and to Inspector Kevin Paulus, if you will. These are dark days, Mr. Allen. No matter how we try to twist it and etc., these are dark days. But go ahead. You got a call coming in?
No, we don't. I just want to let people know that number again is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. I was seeing if I can get Mr. Alfred Flowers to call in, but he is not responding to messages online or in text, and be kind of get an interesting insight there. But we'll just keep moving along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, on that particular point, a young lady, the mother of a woman who is now deceased, called into our program number, and Mr. Alvin put her in contact with me. I will not talk in terms of the name of the grandmother, well, the woman who is the mother of an African-American woman who in August laid in deceased in an apartment in the Loring Towers right there in downtown Minneapolis, edge of downtown Minneapolis, badly decomposed and et cetera. It took 6 days for authorities to, you know, recognize that there was some situation in an apartment there. The mother of the deceased, by the way, 33-year-old African-American woman, has attempted to get information from the authorities, from the medical examiner and others about the cause of the death of her daughter, if you will, in that apartment in the Loring Towers. The case has been closed, and regrettably I had to convey that to the mother in the last 2 days. And it was interesting because I happened to also run into her after talking to her and being referred by Mr. Allen to me. I ran into her at the meeting at the Lutheran Church there Wednesday night. I feel badly for her, if you will. I worked with her in a situation in which she lost a child under kind of mysterious circumstances dealing within General Hospital, downtown Minneapolis. But these things continue to happen, Mr. Allen, as we know, and there's really – there used to be advocacy in this city for situations like that. But as M said, with all of the money that is being poured into these agencies – and, Mr. Allen, you have talked about this infinitum – time and time and time again, about these agencies receiving all of these monies, of luxurious living, palatial, as M said, and et cetera. And the folks cannot get any semblance of assistance or caring with regards to situation circumstances that raise questions about their loved ones and their deaths and et cetera. I mean, This 33-year-old African American's body, her body laid up in the apartment for 6 days in August. You know how hot it was and et cetera. It doesn't take, you know, more than 12, 14, 15 hours for the, you know, the aroma of death to begin to seep through the hallways and et cetera. And this mother is so depressed because she has been told that the case is closed. You know, your daughter's dead, too bad, she must have overdosed and et cetera, and gone on about their business. So I just had committed myself to friends of the family that we make sure we got that in too. Because Mr. Allen and I have confirmed with each other that some of these circumstances, situations need to be reported. I'm tired, sick and tired of hearing all these people who are telling us how great things are. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, Mr. Edwards, that you mentioned the Star Tribune did not bother to report on any of the meetings or what's been going on, as far as, you know, Mayor Fry not showing up for these meetings. And it seems to me like the Star Tribune and local media have become an arm, a public relations arm for both cities. Even in St. Paul, you know, we have our mayor, they have some really great quotes, pull quotes from him in the paper, and and things like that, but they're not addressing, you know, the need, the human need that needs to happen here in St. Paul. Also, you know, they're waving $100,000 in front of the mayor's face for this gang violence initiative piece. And it's very interesting. What a lot of people don't understand, or maybe they do, is that $100,000 is enough probably to hire a secretary for $20,000 and give the rest of the money and their benefits to the executive director of the organization, which leaves nothing for that to go out and deal and engage with these community members that might need special services or human needs services, et cetera. And so I was kind of happy when Mayor Carter rejected that $100,000. And if you want to know if GVI works, go to the cities where GVI is headquartered. You'll see Chicago, the East Coast, the West Coast. You'll see a high number of murders, but you'll see a staff that's well paid and living the life of Riley. So that's not a purposeful collaboration with our communities to stop this shooting, to stop kids from punching 75-year-old white men downtown Minneapolis off the bus. That's not a solution. GVI is definitely not a solution. You know, God bless the people that work and have a job in the city of Minneapolis that look like us. But still, those are boutique engagements, token personnel, and it's not engaging our community, as we already see. Every time you pick up the paper, every weekend since the beginning of the year, the middle of last year, someone is shot or killed, and 9 times out of 10, it's a black youth, period.
By the way, on that particular number for our international and domestic audience, particularly for our international audience, as of this very hour, 146 individuals have been shot, wounded, or killed in the city of St. Paul. And the number is pretty much the same, and the number here in Minneapolis is around 170-something, if you will. I use the terms, and I assume that folks know their history, I use the terms that it's like Abilene, Dodge City, Tombstone. You know what I'm saying? It's just a guaranteed situation and circumstances of violence, if you will. And I'm just shocked that the mayor of this city, Jacob Frey, did not see fit to attend two events back-to-back to meet with his constituency, because clearly the African-American community, those that got out and voted, and then we always ask the question, how come black folks didn't get out and vote? Well, you know, they see, and M would be a good one on this, is that they don't see any results for their commitment, and the most important word, I think, Mr. Allen, is that their political loyalty, okay? I bet you that 90% of African Americans that did vote in the election in which Jacob Frey was elected as mayor of the city, that they were African Americans voting for this white politician, okay? In the case of Melvin Carter, it is quite clear that he is proving his worth with regards to his base by the things that he is doing. I thought it was an impressive picture in the paper yesterday showing him standing on a chair, okay? And he had one of his security people right there in case he misstepped or said, but standing on the chair, talking to the masses that gathered there. But I repeat again, in the case of the Lutheran Church in North Minneapolis, 140 citizens came to see and hear from their mayor. They did hear from the attorney general, you know, irrespective of the confrontation between himself and a black activist, if you will. But and I say this in closing on this particular note, Mr. Allen, I sat there watching the people setting up the room and et cetera, listening, and people were like children. The mayor is coming. The mayor is going to be here. You could hear it in their voices, if you will. Oh, the mayor is coming. The mayor is coming. And that man had already made up his mind. He didn't have no time for those individuals, both by race and economic standing. But he and his fellow Democrats expect the faithful, if you will, to be out there like we always are, as the sons and daughters of the African. voting to keep, I know you love this, Mr. Allen, voting to keep this white man, Democrat or Republican, in office, if you will. It's so sad. It is so sad. But go ahead, Mr. Allen. Anything as we begin to reach the end of the program?
Yeah, I'm just checking the phone lines again here. We do have a call, Mr. Edwards. Let's get them on the air. Caller, 672.
Get them on the air.
Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Don and Ron. This is Doug Mann.
Yeah,
hey,
Doug,
how you doing,
Mr.
Mann?
Long time no here, a couple years. Yeah, how you doing? What do you got? Yeah.
Oh, well, I wanted to comment about the Minneapolis School District's equity reports, which are covering up problems that should be, you know, investigated. We have a problem with really high turnover in Minneapolis public schools because the district doesn't been done.
You're breaking up just a tad. Somebody needs to correct something on the board. Go ahead, Doug Mann, repeat yourself there because we lost you.
Okay. We have a problem with very high turnover rates and some of the Minneapolis public schools where black students are heavily concentrated, and that's because of the very low retention policies that the district has had for many, many years. And, you know, we've heard equity reports from this school district that conceal the problem. You know, they're, you know, using creative statistics to, you know, sweep the problem under the rug.
Let me do this, Doug. I don't want to put any words in your mouth, and you only have a couple minutes left. But I think Don Allen and I both recognize, but I'll speak for myself. I don't want to put Mr. Allen on the spot as it pertains to his professional obligation and responsibility. Are you saying that the Minneapolis Public School District, under the leadership of Superintendent Graf, are you saying that they are falsifying documentation and sending that information to the federal government and to the state Department of Education? Are you saying that there's major fraud going on?
Well, I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah, they're certainly misrepresenting the situation and the reports to the board. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're misrepresenting the situation and the reports to the state and the federal government.
Let me ask this question, Mr. Mann, because you've been out here for a long time and have fought courageously and accepted. Do you feel that we have gone beyond the curve and that the Minneapolis public school system should be placed in federal receivership and that a special master be appointed to run the school district? Give me your take on it. You've been out here a long time. Should the Minneapolis public school district be placed in receivership?
Well, I don't really trust the federal government at this point.
Well, you got to trust somebody, though. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Our community is suffering. Our youth are suffering. But go ahead. I repeat my question again. Need to hear your assessment. Should the school district be placed in receivership?
I've never considered that idea. I'm not sure if I would favor that as an immediate step. I think that we do need people in the community to get together and discuss issues, maybe run a slate of school board candidates, go harass the school board members, you know, at their meetings. And, you know, and I think that, you know, we could raise that issue of, you know, placing that demand, but I'm not going to, you know, step out there into it as an individual. Yeah.
Well, I hope that we find some citizens who have, and you've got to always be careful in dealing both with state and federal. We need some parents who have standing. The courts always like to talk in terms that you need to have standing to pursue and et cetera. I hope that we can find some citizens who can find the right kind of law firm, probably would have to go outside the state of Minnesota, who will file a formal lawsuit against the district and, if necessary, the state of Minnesota and the Department of Education. Mr. Mann, that's where I'm at, because you've been around long enough. We've had you on this program over the years. Folks have been talking and meeting and et cetera. In fact, this current group of school board members, many of them were elected because they said times changed and they were about to change.